we're going to continue our discussion of dash and schita, schita squeezing. So before we do that, we'll just note again what we said last week from Rabbi Ribiat, is that, and I'm reading, this is on page 333, it was from the sources last week, that squeezing is related to dash, because the juice is being extracted from the solid fruit in which it was previously absorbed, right? So schita is extracting juice from the fruit that it had been absorbed. In the same way, the grain is detached from the husk, and peas are extracted from their inedible pods, right? That's what disha is. Disha was extracting the grain from the husk. So too, extracting the juice from the fruit is a subset of disha, something that we're going to, it could either be called mefarik, like extracting, or we could call it schita, squeezing. But either way, that extracting juice is a subset of dash, is extracting the juice. So what we talked about last week was, and then we'll just do a quick review. Last week we talked about why exactly, we saw a Gemara, we're going to see this Gemara again, that olives and that grapes, it's usur d'oraisa to squeeze olives and grapes. We talked a little bit about why that was. That was last week. We're not going to repeat that. But olives and grapes are going to be usur d'oraisa to squeeze. Other fruits like berries, like pomegranates, and we're going to expand that to anything that people squeeze for juice purposes is going to be. It could be that it's some of them at least are d'oraisa according to some of the Rishonim. I think we're going to just assume that it's usur d'rabbanan. But anything that you squeeze for its juice is going to be usur d'rabbanan to squeeze it on Shabbos. And anything that you don't ever squeeze at all for juice in any way, that's nobody ever does that. That's going to be mutter. So then last week we talked about, we talked mainly about squeezing lemons into tea on Shabbos. That's what we talked about. The Shulchan Aruch says squeezing lemons was okay, and depending on the reason that's given, it may or may not be okay bizman hazeh. We noted that there are multiple poskim say it's usher to squeeze lemons into tea bizman hazeh. The Rabbi Ribiat says that, the Mishnah Berurah I believe says that. Rabbi Eider says that, the usher to squeeze lemons into tea on Shabbos, and we also had a whole bunch of opinions that said it's totally mutter to squeeze lemons into tea on Shabbos. Rabbi Avadya Yosef says it's mutter, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's mutter. We even have some opinions that the alternate to squeezing squeezing lemons into tea on Shabbos would be to either put the lemon in whole, which everybody says that's okay, so if you want to satisfy everybody, just drop the lemon in and probably some of it will seep out. Yeah, I don't know. They don't talk about the details, but I guess. Or possibly what you could do is you could squeeze the lemon into sugar, which is going to be our segue into what we're going to talk about today. Squeezing a liquid into a solid is likely going to be okay. So squeeze your lemons into your sugar. The sugar is a solid. Then take the sugar cube and drop it into your tea, which is one way to get around squeezing the lemon directly into the tea, except for the fact that the Chazon Ish didn't like that. He just thought that the whole thing was some type of trickery to really just get your lemons into your tea. So he was not a fan of that. And if you wanted to follow that Chazon Ish, then your only option would be to squeeze it out before Shabbos so that you'd have some lemon juice for your tea, or to drop the whole wedge into your tea. We noted Rabbi Jachter in his book, Gray Matter, Volume 2, quotes all three of these opinions and then says at the end, you have to ask your rabbi, which I had meant, hopefully Ned there, I want to see if I can ask if...
local Orthodox.
Right, ask one of the rabbis here about what they think the best way to go about getting lemon juice into your tea on Shabbos. Yeah.
Can I just ask about the sugar? Is it the sugar cube you're talking about, not sugar granules?
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters if you had... I think it's just a sugar cube because it's solid. Otherwise, you're going to have to squeeze it into a bowl with sugar in it, and it's just more complicated. It's going to probably make a bigger mess. I don't know. I don't see why there would be a difference. I don't see. Yeah.
No, I was just wondering if it's true, because you only take a teaspoon of sugar and you put the lemon and the sugar which is on the teaspoon in the teaspoon. The thing is, some of it will be dissolved and some will be loose. So you add.
Okay, good. So that's something we're going to come to. We're going to come to today about what about the loose? If there's any loose liquid, we're going to definitely come to that today. Final point from last week. Last week, I think Avram, you mentioned something about limes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about limes and lemons probably don't really go together here, because lemons. The whole problem with lemons today is that people drink them plain. Either you drink it with some type of juice. You squeeze it. Well, at least according to the side that said that it was us, or you squeeze the lemon into a barrel to then make lemonade from it, right? Yeah. I don't think people make make any sort of juices, independent juices out of lime, which would then mean, I think according to everybody, you would, I don't know if anybody ever squeezes lime into any kind of drink.
You use lime a lot more for alcoholic drinks.
So I would think in cocktails. Okay.
Oh,
so
sure.
I would think based on everything we said, I think that it would be okay. That there's no, there would be no problem squeezing lime. It's not something that anybody ever drinks plain. It's not something that you has an independent, like squeeze it into a barrel and then add stuff to it and make it into a drink. It's only used for that. I would think that would be okay, but I didn't see that. I was just thinking because somebody last week mentioned limes go hand in hand with lemons. There's an extra reason to say that lemons could be ulcer because people drink lemonade. Nobody drinks limeade, as far as I know.
Do they drink lemon lime?
Uh-huh, so then we have to start to see. Okay, but that's also a mixture. That's not a plain juice. So okay, fine. So now we're gonna get into this week. We're gonna like we had just alluded to a moment ago. We're going to talk about other issues relating to squeezing fruits and squeezing foods on Shabbos. The first point we're going to talk about today is squeezing them onto food, like we just talked about, squeezing the lemon onto the sugar. So the Gemara, in Source 1, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Anavim Letoch HaKedera Aval Lo Letoch HaKeara. A person's allowed to squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot, but not onto a plate. Okay. What's the difference? Okay, you can squeeze the cluster of grapes, which normally is aser d'oraisa, right? That's normally aser d'oraisa. You squeeze it onto the pot, but not onto a plate. So Rashi here says, we'll pause to just jump to Rashi. Underneath this, Rashi says, L'toch ha-gedera shel tavshil l'takno. You're allowed to squeeze grapes onto a food to improve it, to improve the taste or make the food better. Because it's very clear that you're not squeezing this out for the liquid to drink. You're squeezing it to flavor the food. This is not extracting. Extracting is when you draw out the liquid to drink the liquid. Here, you didn't draw out the liquid to drink the liquid. You drew out the liquid straight directly onto food to improve the flavor of the food. This, basically, the way that this is explained is that the liquid never had an independent status as a liquid. Right? So let's say you have your orange and you want to squeeze your orange on top of a food to flavor it, let's say. So you start to squeeze your orange, you squeeze it. Now a drop comes out. If we were to freeze that frame and you see this liquid drop coming out falling, you would point to that and be like, That's liquid. But that's just would be our vernacular. We would say, oh, there's a drop there, that's a liquid. But halachically, it never has an independent status as a liquid because you're not drinking it. It's going straight into the next food. So we consider that just to be like food. You're not being mefarid. You're not extracting juice from the orange. You're just having some of the orange come out of the orange, go into the food. That would be how we would view this. It's ochel me ochel. It's not. It never has an independent status as a liquid. It's just something that's going to flavor food. To have an independent status as a liquid, you'd have to have it for drinking. This isn't for drinking.
Including putting it into another liquid, obviously.
Right, exactly, right. The lemon was an exception. Clearly, if you're putting it into another liquid, you're using it for its liquid form. You can't do that, right? Never, you can't squeeze a liquid into another liquid, with the exception of lemons or something that's never done to do that. But Here you're not doing that. You're squeezing it directly into the solid. So this is what Rashi says. Next Rashi, dezimdin dilamashkekai. Why? You can't put it into a plate, which doesn't have food, right? That's the important. The plate doesn't have any food on it. Because sometimes people squeeze onto plates in order to drink. V'afagav, debika'ara lo shati inish, right? Nobody drinks out of a plate. It doesn't make, right? You're not drinking straight out of the plate. Lo muchacha milta. He says that doesn't conclusively prove anything because a lot of times you could squeeze it into your plate and then pour it into something else to drink. Also, I don't know if this is what he's getting at, but when you squeeze it onto the plate, now it has its independent status as a liquid, right? It hit a surface. It's sitting there. Now we would call it a liquid. When it goes into the food, it gets absorbed likely immediately. We'll talk about maybe if it doesn't or if there's extra, whatever. It's going to be getting absorbed. It's going right into a food. It never had a status as a liquid. So the Gemara says, back to the Gemara at the end of that first line, Amar of Chisnami, Divrei Rabbeinu, Nilmad Cholev Adam Eza Tocha Kedera, you can milk a goat into the pot of food, of Alola Tocha Ka'ara, but not into a plate. Amar Kasavar Mashka Bali Ochel Ochel. We see from here, the Gemara then asks questions on this, but we see from here that Mashka, that a liquid that goes straight into a food, has the status of a food. It never had a status of a liquid in the first place, and you would not be liable for extracting a liquid from a fruit if that goes directly into a food. So we're not. I don't just so that everybody should know that milking is also one of, at least is one likely one of the other subsets here of dash. Milking is also extracting milk from an animal is similar to extracting the juice from the orange. We're probably not going to talk about that. It's less practical. Less practical for us. It does have some ramifications for women that are nursing. I think we're probably not going to talk about that. And in a very interesting way, it has very practical ramifications in Israel in the milking industry. How do you go about doing this on Shabbos? That's one of those questions that when the Jewish people came and established a state and they had to now deal with the fact that everything was being done by Jews, that was one of the questions that had to be dealt with, was milking the animals. Then you have to talk about the pain of the animal and how the whole thing works. An interesting topic, but is of not much practical relevance for us.
We don't. Got
right. That was probably, the kibbutzim, everybody, they had to figure out how you...
It's cruelty to the animal.
Yeah. Dan was uncomfortable, right? So there were a lot of different reasons to have possibly allowed it. But yeah, that's definitely a separate subject. Okay, so the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah in Source 3 tells us just something that we should know. Well, he says Midivrei Kol HaPoskim. He reads Rashi a little bit differently, but he says Midivrei Kol HaPoskim HaRishonim Heim HaBahag VaHarif VaHarash VaRambam VaSmag VaSmak VaHator VaRenu Yerucham VaMeiri. So it goes like 10 Rishonim. In the second line of Source 3 now, Mashma de ein shum chiluk ben kedera l'shar kli im yesh batavshiel. He says the Gemara wasn't making a difference between a pot and a plate. V'had de chilek haGemara ben kedera l'kara hu mishum de stam kedera yesh batavshiel v'stam kara ein batavshiel. The Gemara said kedera, you could put it into a pot because. And that was what the Gemara was just assuming. There was food in the pot, but the Gemara was assuming the plate was empty. But Lamaisa, it doesn't really matter for us if the food is in a pot or if the food is in a plate. The distinction is going to be whether you're squeezing it onto food or not squeezing it onto food. Right? Don't think that you can't squeeze it onto food that's on a plate, because the Gemara said you can't squeeze it onto a plate. The Gemara was just saying likely the plate had no food on it and likely the pot had food, so that's what the Gemara is choosing to illustrate this point. So this isn't ultimately going to be such a complicated halacha here about squeezing onto food. But what we have right now is that we have that squeezing onto the food, squeezing presumably everything onto food, even grapes. Right, the Gemara said grapes, olives, anything. If you squeeze it onto food, it would be okay. The Rambam paskins like this. In the underlined part in Source 4, Umutar lischot eshkol shel anavim l'tocha ochel. You're allowed to squeeze a cluster of grapes onto food. Shemash geba li'ochel, ochel hu v'nimsek mefarik ochel mayochel. It's like you're just taking food from food. It's okay, you're allowed to squeeze any fruit directly onto another food. And like I said, not super complicated, at least as of yet. The Shulchan Aruch also tells us, very straightforward, the Shulchan Aruch says in Source 5, Mudr liskot eshkol anavim mitoch kidera sheish batavshe kidela takin ocha, you're allowed to do it to fix the food. Tahave le mashka bali ocha v'uka ocha dami avalim ein batavshil asr. He tells us, you can squeeze it onto food, but if there's no food there, then it would be asr. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to introduce some complexity to this. So if we take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, but before we get to the complexity, let's take a look at the second Mishnah Berurah there, just to get another detail here. In Yod Chet, we'll go back to Yod Zayin in a second. In Source 6, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Avalim ein bo v'afilu dato litno acharkach letavshil gam kein aser." Even if you squeeze it onto a plate with the full intention of then pouring it onto your food, it's still usher to do. Diba'inan she is chatenu l'toch hatavshil. You actually have to put it straight into the food. He doesn't fully explain why over here, but what I think is that if you put it onto a plate, it could be that it now gains it's established its status as a liquid.
Or maybe there, he's afraid.
You forget. Okay. Okay. It could be. Right. It could be you forget you drink it. It could be that you see it there. Right. We're going to see later on that some of the things that are us or Darabana, because there's a Xera that you might see it and then decide you want to squeeze more of it. So it could be also maybe you'll see it there and you'll say, oh, I there's not enough and I decided that I really want more of it or something along those lines. That could be also, that could also be a reason. Yeah. So, but what the Mishnah Berurah is establishing for us is that you'd actually have to squeeze it straight onto the food. Hold it over the food and squeeze. You can't squeeze it into anything else and then pour it, and then pour it into the food. So, okay, so up to now, again, straightforward. So the Mishnah Berurah can introduce some complexity here in Yud Zayin, going back one in the Mishnah Berurah, where he says, so the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on, you're allowed to do it to improve the food. Ki Hashem mifarik bezeitim va'anavim, Schita is only when you want it as a liquid, to as a drink. That's when it's considered to be prika, extracting when you take it from the food. This is not called schita when you just squeeze it right onto another food. Never had a status of a liquid before. And he says, V'ayin l'kameh b'siv zayin b'hagah. So he says, if you look later on, we're going to see this later, Rabbeinu Chananel oser bazeh. Rabbeinu Chananel actually said that this is oser. It's oser t'paskin, that it was oser to squeeze liquids straight onto a food. Everything we said up till now, Rabbeinu Chananel did not agree with. We don't paskin like that Gemara. We don't paskin like this. It's oser to do. Ach, rov ha-poskim cholkim alav. But most of the poskim argue on Rabbeinu Chananel, say you are allowed to. Right? We saw the Rambam said you are allowed to. A lot of the poskim, a lot of the Rishonim, everybody. Rabbeinu Chananel is really by himself here. Everybody else says you're allowed to squeeze a fruit directly onto a food. Rabbeinu Chananel says you are not allowed to do. Said that it was allowed because every single person says that it's allowed except for Rabbeinu Chananel. Umikol Malkum, the Mishnah Berurah now introduces to us Hamachmir Tavo Lav Bracha Kemosha Kos Bichuvas Harash. The Rush also had this problem, and the Rush concluded, well, since Rabbeinu Chananel says this, Hamachmir Tavo Lav Bracha, the person who's more stringent in this, there will be a bracha that goes upon him. I.e., better to be Machmir in this case. Better to be Machmir to not squeeze any fruit onto a solid. Okay, any questions up till now? We're going to see that in halacha. We're going to come to a split now. I don't know if you can call it a compromise or not, but there's going to be a split depending on the type of fruit. We're going to say whether you're allowed to squeeze it or not. Kind of fruit? What kind of fruit would we not be allowed to squeeze if we're going to have to make some sort of distinction?
Grapes
and olives. Okay, exactly. That's where we're going to get to. We're going to say ultimately the grapes and olives. For that, we are going to try to be choshesh, we're going to try to follow this Mishnah Berurah, Machmir Tovol of Bracha, not to squeeze grapes and olives. Even though, again, if the Rambam says beferish that you can, we're going to say halacha not to, but everything else you can squeeze directly onto another kind of food.
Obviously, one way around is to pre-squeeze on the Friday and put it in the fridge or something, and then just pour it on.
No problem. No. You have to remember to do it. But if you're totally allowed to do it on Shabbos, then you don't have to.
Yeah.
If you are, yeah. It could be a problem. Sometimes I don't know, it's not as good, it's not as fresh you want. I don't know.
Fresh orange as well. Some seeds say you can, some say you can't.
Right.
So
okay.
To make the essence.
Do it before, yeah.
Is there any problem with ketchup in a bottle, squeezing it on meat or anything like that?
But you're not extracting anything. It's all ketchup.
It's liquid.
We actually talked about whether ketchup was a liquid or a solid for Bishul, right? That's a big question. But you're not extracting anything. It's all ketchup. What are you extracting? Has to be removing A from B. The whole bottle's ketchup, so you're not.
I see. You're not changing anything.
You're not extracting anything. There's nothing that you're drawing out from within something else by ketchup, right? You're not extracting the ketchup from anything.
Tomato.
It's just ketchup. There's it's the same thing. Exactly.
It depends whether it separates when it reaches whatever you're putting it onto.
Yeah. Okay, so what was that? It depends if you separate.
Well, no, if the tomato sauce, say, you put it onto something hot.
Okay.
Hot chicken.
Yeah. So you have to make it for Bischel because it's a liquid.
You might bring out one of the ingredients of the tomato sauce you might extract.
Well, it's extract the flavor, but not physically extract, right? Just pull out the flavor. Okay. Right? Is that the... Okay, interesting. Interesting. Okay, so the Shmir Shabbos, in Aleph and Bet, he basically, we kind of did these last week. So Shmir Shabbos tells us that in Aleph, that you, schitat per lotos ha-mashkesh bem asur b'Shabbos, you squeezing fruit to extract the liquid, the juice, is usur. And even if you want to drink it right away, right away, la alter only helps us for borer, we're not going to be able to, we're not applying it to here. Even if you squeeze it to drink right away, that doesn't matter. The ain hevda bein skin bechli amayuchal lechach or biyad, right? Again, there's not going to be a difference between a kli and biyad, right? By borer, we had those differences, but here we're not going to have those differences, right? Squeezing with your hand is usur, squeezing with some type of squeezer is usur, drinking it right, even if you're drinking it right away, it's still usur. And then in bed, he talked about how you cannot squeeze it into an empty container. And then he talked about the tea problem in Gimel. We're going to go to Gimel here. Mutar lischot biyad letoch ochel. You're allowed to squeeze in your hand with your hands into food. Kishayadua sherov hamitz hanischad. And now he's going to introduce to us two factors that we didn't really have up till now. Kishayadua sherov hamitz hanischad yisapeg betocho. When a majority of the squeezed out juice is going to get absorbed into that thing, right? You can't squeeze a whole orange onto a little piece of chicken so that, I don't know, you know, 10% of the juice gets absorbed and now you have 90% of the juice is kind of just sitting there and you say, oh great, I can now drink that because I squeezed it onto the food and it's just extra. You can't do that. You have to know that most of what you're going to squeeze is going to get absorbed or if you're improving the taste of the food. If you're improving the taste of the food. So Rabbi Ribia quotes both of these. Rabbi Ribia says that either the juice must improve the taste of the food, and his example for this is permitted to squeeze lemon juice onto icing of a cake to add flavor, even if most of it isn't absorbed. Right? These criteria, you don't have to satisfy both of them. Either it's improving the flavor, so now you could squeeze your lemon on top of the icing. So as long as some of it's absorbed, you're improving the flavor, that's okay. Or you're not improving any flavor, but most of it gets absorbed. So that's a or. Again, so either. His example for that, by the way, is the sugar cube. The sugar cube is a case where the sugar cube isn't getting improved. You're not doing it to improve the flavor of the sugar cube. You're doing it so that the cube can then, you can get your lemon into the tea. In that case, you'd have to make sure that most of it got absorbed. Either most of it has to get absorbed into the food, or you're doing it to improve the flavor. So let's say you have a salad and you want to squeeze a lemon onto your salad. That's to improve flavor. So if so, most of it wouldn't have to get absorbed. It's fine if it all kind of falls down or falls to the side. As long as some of it ended up improving the flavor, that would be okay.
That's the only reason you'd pour it onto this food, isn't it, to improve the flavor?
Well, he says to get it into the tea. Put it on your sugar to get it into the tea. It's not to improve. I was thinking about examples. Yeah. That
ultimately improves the flavor.
Right.
What's the reason for doing it other than improving the flavor?
That was the example that he had here. Okay, yeah, it's probably hard to think of an example, right? Most of the time you're doing it to improve the flavor, yeah. So if you're doing it to improve the flavor, then most of it doesn't have to get absorbed, just some of it has to get absorbed. Okay, so this is what he tells us, and now we're going to, in Dalet, and now he's gonna tell us, Din ze she'amru ki mutar lischot et ha'pri biyad letoch ha'ochel nemar legabei kol ha'perot. It's regarding all kinds of fruits, you can squeeze them. Ella, but she'be'anovim by grapes, ratzui shelo lischot b'Shabbos gam bo'ven ze. It's better to not. He doesn't say it's usur, right? Because the Mishnah Berurah said everybody says that it's mutar except for Rabbeinu Chanan. He says it's better to not squeeze grapes. I think he means grapes and olives. Ela im kench who osa kach litzorech ma'achalo shel tinok. Unless you're doing it somehow for a kid or somebody who like needs to eat that or needs the I don't know what I don't know exactly what, but the kid is somebody, a category of people that needs more nutrients or needs something. You're allowed to do it for the kid, for a kid. And if we skip to footnote Yotet here, which is right below on the bottom of page one, Umashme Dili Didan Ein Lahachni Rak Bizetim Anavim Sharak Ben Naktine Sheish Isar Tor Bizchitazam. He says that for us, we should only be machmir by Zeitim Vanavim, because why? That's Aser Daraisa. Those were the only two things that was clear that those are Aser Daraisa. So we say we want to be Machmir by the things that are Aser Daraisa to not even squeeze them when they're going to get absorbed into food. But everything else would be okay. And he says, especially a lemon, which we might have even been allowed to squeeze into the first place, into the liquid, you can for sure squeeze a lemon into anything without a problem. Okay, so now what we have here at La Halacha, I guess I shouldn't necessarily say that it's halacha. It's recommend la halacha. You can squeeze any liquids in any juice into a solid. Right, the Shulchan Aruch said better to not do it with grapes and olives.
Right.
Better to not do it with grapes and olives. By the end, we'll talk about cutting grapes and the liquid that comes out from there, and whether we need to be maybe concerned for that if in light of this. Okay, everybody, good. Part one was. Was squeezing liquids into solids, and yes, you can do it with the exception of grapes, which is not usur, it's just that better to be machmir there because those are isui d'oraisa. Okay, next, we're going to talk about, these are all smaller issues regarding schita. What about sucking the juice out of the fruit? Can you do that? So the Ramah tells us in Source 8, Aval mutar limtzos bepiv min ha'novim ha'mashkev shebahen, you're allowed to suck the juice out of the grape, and all kol shekin, right? Of course, for anything else. If you're allowed to do it with the grape, which is the most stringent food, then you could suck the juice. You can put an orange wedge near your mouth and suck it out, or anything else that you want to do, you could do that. Also, we're going to come to grapefruits. We're going to come to like eating grapefruits. Also, we'll come to that shortly. The yesh osrin limsos bepeme anavim v'chayotzeba. And he says, but there's a yesh osrin that you can't do. So the Ramah quotes that it's mutter, then he quotes to somebody else that says it's osr. So the Mishnah Berurah here tells us, he's going to tell us another, the same distinction that we just had right now. If we're going to make a compromise, some type of compromise, we're going to make a distinction between grapes and olives and everything else. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ayin be'eli Rab in Source 9, shekatav dibizeitim anavim shechitata mida oraisa, by grapes and olives, where squeezing them to extract the juices aser mida oraisa, hanachon lahachmir milimtzot afilu befiv kisvar rishona." So he says it's machmir. It's good to be machmir, even for that first for the first opinion. It's machmir. Sorry, kiss version. It's machmir it's better to be machmir not to suck the juice out. Uvishari dvarim ain't lahachmir, but everything else that's not aser d'oraisa, you could just suck the juice out. Umistabra da afilu bezeitim v'anavim ain't lahachmir rakshu derech yiniko levad. But the Mishnah Berurah clarifies that by grapes, it's only aser if you're doing it derech yiniko, you're holding it up to your mouth and you're sucking it. But if you put it in your mouth, so if a person wants to suck the juice out of a grape, what the Mishnah Berurah says, you can put it in your mouth because that's just derech achila. You can't hold it outside your mouth to suck. That we're going to say that's maybe akin to schita, but if it's in your mouth, it's 100% okay. So you can suck the juice out of anything, but for the grapes and olives, you should make sure to put them in your mouth to suck the juice out, as opposed to keeping them outside your mouth. Okay? Again, not such a complicated halacha. We understand it because, right, grapes and olives aser d'oraisa. So you got to be careful with isurim d'oraisa. Everything else aser d'rabbanan, maybe aser d'rabbanan, maybe totally mutter, depending on what it is. So you could definitely no problems with sucking the juice out. So the Shmira Shabbos here says mutter lischot bapeh et meitzam shel peirot. You're allowed to suck out the juice from a fruit. Kigon tapuzim o eshkoliot. You can pick up a grapefruit. You can pick up an orange. Ve'ein bechach mishum iser schita ach yizar shelo lischot et tapir biyah. But just be careful not to necessarily do it with your hands, because if it's a grape, then you would be usher. It would be usher derais. And even these other things maybe could be derabanan. V'ulam legabe anavim yesh lachmir. So he says we should be machmir by grapes. And he quotes, he says, what you should do is you put it in your mouth and then it's okay. Fine. That was part two. That was just a short part. You're allowed to suck the juice out. The next part is going to be a bit longer, and we're going to talk about, what about squeezing out liquids that had been absorbed in something? For example, something pickled. You pick up a pickle. It's just too juicy, but if you can give it a squeeze, some of the brine, whatever's inside it, is going to come out. It's going to taste better for you. Or, let's say your kugel is too oily. Can you push your spoon down, do something, get rid of, you know, like the pizza, you know, put your napkin. Can you put a napkin on it to absorb some of the oil? Because at the end of the day, that is similar to extracting. That's extracting a liquid from the solid that it was embedded within.
Does this only apply to food? Is this an issue with sponges?
We're going to talk about sponges next week. Next week is going to be the non-food schita, mm-hmm. which is going to be all the sponge issues.
Squeezing.
Yeah, using sponges on Shabbos, yeah. Or shmatas, or what ways are mutter if you want to wipe something up. That's what we'll talk about next week, yeah. Okay, so now what about the liquid that just absorbed in your I don't know, something that was cooked that just had a lot of water in it. One of the examples Rabbi Ribia quotes is you have a celery from your chicken soup, but yeah, I don't know, you don't want it to be so liquidy, so you want to like squeeze it, do something to it, so some of the liquid is going to drop out of it. Can you do that on Shabbos? So this we have a Gemara for. The Gemara said, any questions on anything up till now? Okay, mostly straightforward.
I think there's a difference if you actually manually squeeze something, does he just leave it and let it drain by itself?
Because
a food item like kugel or something, I mean, you can manually squeeze it out. I mean,
right. But what you think that there might be a difference between?
I mean, one is active, one is passive.
Right. Okay. But so the question here is, can you be active in doing it? Let's.
Correct.
Can you be active? Can you actively squeeze out something that, that had absorbed the liquid inside of it? So the Gemara says, we saw part of this Gemara last week. We skipped the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gufa kvashim shesachtan. So something that was pickled that you squeezed, Amar Rav legufan mutter. If you did it to improve the food, that's mutter. But Limeimehen, if you did it because you wanted the liquid, you wanted to use the liquid, you wanted to dip your challah in the liquid that was absorbed in it, gravy in a meat, can you squeeze it to get the gravy out, right? If you did it because you wanted your meat to have less gravy, that's okay. If you did it because you wanted to have some gravy on the side of your plate to dip your challah in, according to this, that wouldn't be okay. Yeah, melachas machshave, that's a lot of the melachas follow your... Some of them, at least, follow your intention. Clearly here that we're following your intention. What do you want to do with it? Vishlakos, these are cooked vegetables. What cooked vegetables, kind of is the same thing. Vegetables that have been cooked and now have absorbed water. So Rav says, bein legufan, bein lememehen mutter. He says that no matter what, it's mutter. We're going to have three opinions here. Shmuel amar, echad zev, echad zev legufan mutter lememehen patra olasar. Both of these things, if you do it to improve the food, it's mutter. If you do it because you want the liquid, it's asur derabanan. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us that if you did it for itself, it's mutter. And if you did it because you wanted the liquid out, asur deraisa. Okay, so basically, machlokes here is going to be where. Well, I think although interesting Gemara to see, we're probably not going to see the rest of it inside. We're going to ask a question, and everybody's going to stick to their guns and say their answer. But what we have from this Gemara is if you squeeze a food that had absorbed a liquid in it, like something that was pickled, if you wanted to improve the food, mutter. If you wanted the liquid to use the liquid, either aser de araisa or aser de rabanan. That's what's going to emerge from the Gemara. Machlokas, aser de araisa or aser de rabanan. And the Rambam here, in source 13, says, kvashin ushlago shesachtan, im lerakech gufa mutter, im lotzi mimeyan aser. The Rambam says that it's aser. This is the Rambam that's in his de rabanan. He's the Rambam's dinai de rabanan. The Rambam paskins, aser, if you want to improve the food, mutter, to squeeze the pickled juice out of it. If you want the juice, aser derabanan. Okay, so now the Shulchan Aruch here says, "Lischot kvashim peru," and he tells us what this is. Perush perus umine yirakot hamunachim bechomet uvamel chedei shelo yirkavu. What is pickled? It's fruit or vegetables that you leave in vinegar and salt so that it doesn't go bad. Right, that's what pickling is. Uslako im legufam, if you did it to improve the food, she'en tzarech l'mayim ve'eno sochtan elu l'taknaim l'achila, you don't need the water, you only want to improve the food. Afilu sochet l'toch ka'ar rashen ba'ochlam, which you can even squeeze it into an empty plate. It doesn't matter what you're... Before we said it mattered what you were squeezing it on, now we're saying it doesn't even matter. If you're squeezing something that had absorbed food in it, liquids in it, like something that's pickled, or like meat with gravy... As long as you don't want the liquid, it doesn't matter what you squeeze. You can squeeze it anywhere. The liquid could fall out anywhere. It doesn't matter. V'in tzarech limeimehen, and if you want the liquids, now, mutter lischot letoch, on the top of page 3, kidere yishish bochel. If you want the liquid, you have to squeeze the liquid directly onto a food, just like we had before. If you don't care for the liquid, you just want to improve your food, it doesn't matter where you squeeze the liquid. If you're trying to improve the... If you want the liquid to use it for something else, it must be squeezed directly onto food. I.e., you take your gravy, right? You don't want so much gravy. You want the gravy for your challah, and it's on the piece of meat. So squeeze the meat directly over the challah so that the gravy falls onto the challah. Avalim ein ba'ochel aser. But if you want the liquid out of that thing to use the liquid and there's no food underneath it, aser, there are banan to do. And then he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel that whenever you need the mayim, then it's aser d'oraisa, like he mentioned before. It seems like we don't pass in like that, but he quotes it. Okay. So, if we take a look in the Mishnah Berurah here, the Mishnah Berurah says, im legufan, he says, Rotze Lomar in source 15, Shesochtan Mimashia Tzafalein Vanivla Behem Kidei Letaken Gufam Lachila Lavad. Right, what you're doing here is you're squeezing it out to improve the food. You're improving the food by squeezing out the extra liquid in it. The Ein Tzarech Lememein Kamosha Derek Liskot Ayarek Shekorin Salatin. He says, and he gives you an example, just like we squeeze the vegetable that's called Salatin, and this is lettuce. You have your lettuce sitting in water. At the end, you don't want to have watery lettuce, so you squeeze the lettuce so that the water seeps out. You don't want the water; you just want to have lettuce that's less watery. He says that's not mifarek, and that would be okay. So basically, from here, we have a skip to source 16. Rabbi Rimon says, to summarize, it is permissible to squeeze a vegetable or a fruit which has an absorbed liquid in it if the aim is to eat the cooked food without liquid. Therefore, it is permissible to squeeze a donut or a latke to remove the oil, right? Because that was liquid that was inside this thing. But you don't want as much oil in your donut. You don't want as much oil in your latke. You don't want as much oil in your kugel. Or a pickle, to remove the juice within it. However, it is forbidden to squeeze a pickled or cooked vegetable in order to use the liquid as a, for example, as a relish for bread. So Rabbi Ribiad here quotes this also, squeezing out an oily latke, a kugel. He says, based on this, you can do it. He says, you can press or squeeze the oil into a napkin, squeeze oily noodles or tuna fish. Basically, whenever you're squeezing, you can squeeze the oil out of something if it's to improve the food. But if it's because you want the oil to use the oil for another purpose, that would be aser d'rabanan to do. He also quotes here, under the same principle, you can squeeze unwanted gravy from a meat, fish, or chicken. He says that some poskim don't allow this, so that's what he says. But according to everything that we've basically seen up to now, Pidin, you could squeeze liquids that were absorbed in your food. If you want to improve your food. Okay, that's another schita thing, right? Again, schita is extracting liquid. You are extracting a liquid, but because the purpose here is to improve that food, and something that we didn't necessarily know, but because here we're talking about liquids that didn't originate in that food, that certainly is a strong reason to help us be able to squeeze the liquid out. Okay, good. Questions? Anything? Last 2 points here. We have a few more minutes to go. Again, these were just each smaller issues here regarding squeezing foods on Shabbos. So now, what about the status of the liquid that seeped out? So the Mishnah in Source 17 has a machlokas about this. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in 18. Zeitim va'anovim osur l'sochton, right, which we saw 100 times. You're not allowed to squeeze olives and grapes. V'im yatzomei atzman asurim afilu lo yomdem ela lachila. If you have... a whole lot of grapes, and the liquid, the juice, seeped out on its own. You're not allowed to drink the juice on Shabbos. The juice is usher to you. Because there's a gzera, maybe you're going to see the juice, and then you're going to say, oh, I want more juice, and you're going to go to squeeze more grapes on Shabbos, which is usher daraisa. You're not allowed to drink the juice of grapes that seeped out on Shabbos. We're going to talk in a few minutes at the end about making a fruit salad. Mm. I think that's an interesting application of this that we might not have such great answers for, but it good to know, be aware of it. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch says v'tutim v'rimonim usher l'sachtan. That's what we saw. Also, the usher derabanan to squeeze berries, right? Anything that you normally drink for juice is also derabanan. Now, what about the juice that seeped out from the berries? The im yatzo me atzman. What if the juice seeps out im omdim la'achila mutter? If you had those in your house to eat, you can in fact drink the juice that seeped out of them. Not from grapes, from strawberries or from any other kind of thing that you make into it. People that would be usher darabanan for you to squeeze, but because these things in your house were really for eating, if the juice seeps out, you're not going to think, oh, let me go squeeze more to get more juice, because when you look at them, you're going to want to eat them. You're not going to want to juice them. Okay, the im omdim lamashkin. But if those berries were in your house because you wanted to make juice out of them, you could not drink the juice that seeped out on its own, because then you're gonna come to squeeze those things because that's what they're there for. You brought them into your house in order to juice them. Okay, so this is the Shulchan Aruch. So we basically said the Mishnah Berurah's explanations as we were just going through the Shulchan Aruch. So now if we apply this to a very practical application, Bizman Hazeh, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa quotes here that, or he says, Mutter lachtoch eshkolit lerochva ulochla bekapi. You're allowed to cut a grapefruit and eat it with a spoon. The ein bechach mishum iser schita. There's no iser schita here. Is that you should be careful not to squeeze the juice at your intention when you're eating your grapefruit should not be to get the juice. You shouldn't be thinking I'm going to squeeze the juice out, but let's say you're eating your grapefruit. At the end of your grapefruit, you're finished eating, you see that there's a puddle at the bottom, a pool of liquid at the bottom. So now we have to fit that into our analysis here of the Shulchan Aruch. If it's a grape or an olive, the juice that comes out, usher, you cannot drink it. But if it's a different kind of fruit, you have to ask yourself, was this fruit for eating or for juicing? Clearly, it was for eating. Clearly, it was for eating. Therefore, you can, in fact, drink the juice that seeped out on its. It kind of, even though it seeped out with you pushing it, there's gonna be other reasons. It's not exactly a psik reisha. He, in his footnote here at the bottom, psik reisha is an automatic act that we say that maybe you shouldn't do. The footnote here explains why he thinks that this isn't necessarily a psik reisha, which we would say that it's usher. It's due to a combination of various dinim darabanim. When we combine all of them, plus that your intent wasn't for the juice, it was to eat the fruit, he says, we're not going to consider that to be a psik reisha, that we should say that the liquid is usher, because the liquid there at the bottom of your grapefruit, the fruit was meant for eating. The juice that seeped out on its own, you're allowed to drink, but you can't put squeeze the side to get more juice.
If you have a half the grapefruit and you're finished, someone would take the whole thing and just squeeze.
So that you cannot do on Shabbos. Right. You cannot do that on Shabbos. You can't even, as you're eating it, say, I'm going to just push down harder to get more juice at the end. But you eat it in a normal way, and at the juice at the end, you can't do it because the thing was. Because this was a fruit that was there for eating, it wasn't there for.
And the juice came when you were eating the grapefruit with your spoon.
Exactly. The Shmira Shabbos here says, if I can find. Yeah, he says one may scrape out a grapefruit with a spoon or knife to eat the pulp even though the juice, you can. He said, even if you're trying to get as long as you're trying to get the food, you know, don't say, oh, there's some pieces of the grapefruit on the side. I'm going to be too careful here. Right. If you're eating the food, so eat the food and just not. Don't push against it to extract the juice. So that was a very very practical application of this halacha of juice that seeps out on its own. So that would be okay. And then the final thing that we're going to talk about now here is Rabbi Rivia quotes in Source 20. It is preferable not to cut up fresh grapes or olives on a plate. It says you shouldn't really cut grapes. Even if doing so for only eating purposes, for example, to make a fruit salad and not to make the juice, this is because the cutting process inevitably presses out some of the juices from the fruits, which involves a question of schita. He says this might be a psik resha, that juice is going to come out, which is when you cut the grape, you're cutting it and juice is going to come out, and that's also d'oraisa for to do anything to a grape that's going to cause juice to come out of it. Therefore, he says that it's a real question. In the back, he sets out a whole way. In the footnote, he sets out a whole thing that you can do. He says, if you cut it, he doesn't say over the thing, if you cut it in a way that the juice is clearly going to be thrown out, cut it over a napkin, right? You're not, it's clear that the juice is being disposed of. He says that would be an okay way to cook grapes on Shabbos. Right, that's what he says. Don't just cut them over a plate. Cut them over a napkin, so the juice is going to go away. Then, even though it's a psik resha, we can throw in a whole bunch of other factors to make it allowed for you to be allowed to cut the grape.
Little children, you cut off.
He says for children. He says for children. Then you could, right? The choking hazards. He says right. Children. He definitely has a lot. He says in here. He says you should do that. And He says also what you should maybe try to do is cut slowly with a really sharp knife so nothing is gonna come out of it. So this is what he recommends. I was looking, I didn't really see anybody who talked too much about that, said that it was clearly mutter, because the logic really is you can't squeeze a grape for the juice on Shabbos. If you're pressing it down in a way that's inevitably gonna cause juice to come out, then that's a psik resha. Maybe you'd have a problem with that. The only thing that I was thinking about here would be maybe this wouldn't be such a problem if you're making your fruit salad, right? We said the Shulchan Aruch apidin. We said this before. You can cut anything over something else if the juice is going to get absorbed into it. Even grapes. We said even grapes. Though then we said maybe whatever be machmir by the grapes, but apidin it wasn't usur. So I would think that if you're making a fruit salad and you want put the grapes in whole, right? That would probably be the best way to go about it. But if you're making your fruit salad and you want to put pieces of grapes, then at the very least, wait till the end, cut the grapes over all the rest of the fruit, and then it's not going to be a psik resha of an Isur d'oraisa, because that was mutter al pi din. It was mutter to even cut grapes over food. So that would be my suggesting. Again, I was surprised at the lack of speaking about this in some of the svarim about cutting grapes on Shabbos and issues, fruit salads, etc. But I would suggest that if you're serving grapes to people, don't cut them up for that. Don't cut them in advance. It's probably better not to. If you can, I don't think it's the end of the world per se, but probably better not to. And if you're making a fruit salad, you want to cut it up, better to do it at the end and cut it over the salad, so that if anything were in fact to have seeped out from there, it's going to go directly onto the other fruit that's in the bowl already, and that's not going to be, I just don't see how you can say that's a psik resha for an Issa d'oraisa when the Shulchan Aruch paskin that was mutter. It's just that we are machmir not to do it. So those were all the various issues, perfect timing, all the various issues regarding schita of fruits on Shabbos. Next week, I think we're going to talk about, hopefully we'll get two things in. We're going to talk about squeezing sponges and squeezing clothing and squeezing non-food items. And hopefully another issue that we can talk about is ice cubes. Ice cubes may or may not be a problem. Putting an ice cube so that it melts, right, because the water is being extracted from the frozen part of it, may or may not be an issue. And also, with ice cubes, once we're there, we'll see. Maybe we'll try to talk about making ice cubes on Shabbos, which doesn't relate to this at all, but it's an interesting topic. So once we're on the ice cube topic, we'll see if we can talk about making them. Okay.